Four passages tonight, the first in the book of the Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter 30, page 818. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 3. I have neither learned wisdom, nor have I the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into the heavens and descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a mantle? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou knowest? Luke's Gospel. Chapter 1. Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1. Partway verse 31, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the ages, and of his kingdom there shall not be an end. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And verse 10, part way through, that in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom ye have crucified, whom God has raised from among the dead, by him this man stands here before you, sound in body. He is the stone which has been set at naught by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and salvation is in none other. For neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. And finally, in the Epistle to the Philippians. Chapter 2. I want to commence part 1 in verse 7. But emptied himself, that is Christ Jesus, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal being, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. I think it would be fairly clear to what I'm going to speak about. Every one of these passages speak of the words, give to us a name, except for the first one. I want to tell you a story. Just a simple story. You may have heard it before. There's a young boy. He spent the night in our hostel. And he had no name as far as he knew. Went out the next morning and got run over. Quite critically injured. They took him to the hospital and asked him his name. And all he could say was John 3:16. That's my name, John 3:16. Good name to have. Very good name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him may not perish but have life eternal. He didn't know those words, but he knew that his name was John 3:16. Critically injured, 3 weeks of delirium set in. In those days of delirium, he cried out time and time again, John 3:16, and many a person in that ward picked up the Bible and read to themselves John 3:16 and came to the Saviour. That young lad was used to bring persons to the Saviour who somebody else may not have been able to reach, but God could reach them. Jesus could reach them. He came round from his delirium and someone said to him, "Hello, John 3:16. How do you know my name? Well, you've been shouting it out for the last 3 weeks." And someone came to him and quoted those words to him. And he himself acknowledged Jesus as his Savior. An old man, grumpy old man, came in. And he was moaning and he was groaning. And the young lad thought, "I'll go and quote those words to him." He quoted it through very, very slowly. That's how I understand. There was deadly silence. "Say it again." And he said it again. The old man came to the Savior. The young boy came up and grew up to be one of an evangelist in the city of Dublin. Marvelous grace of God reaching a young boy who hadn't got a home. He hadn't got a bed for the night. But he came to the Saviour through that password that he was given, John 3:16. What a name to have. So there's somebody here who didn't know his name. Do you know the name of the person of whom this verse 4 speaks of? The writer says, I have neither wisdom nor I have the knowledge of the holy. He hadn't got it. Have you? No knowledge of the one who came in on God's behalf to take up the guilt of men, women and children. And that glad tidings are still being preached tonight as they were when Jesus himself came in to seek and to save those that are lost. You know, that's an interesting word. He came in, Jesus. That's the name given in the other three passages. But there's no name given here. I'll come to that in a moment. But he came in to seek and to save those that are lost. Not those that are righteous, but those that are lost. Lost. Word, isn't it? Lost. I've often thought about it. Lost. Guilty. Nowhere to go. No, can't find your way. Lost. Imagine yourself being in one of the forests of this world. Lost. Not knowing which way to turn. And that was like that colt tied at the crossway. He didn't know which way to go. Put it into you, like persons not knowing which way to turn. How many persons in the streets of Croydon are in that situation? Not knowing which way to turn. Going this way, that way, trying to find peace. Do you know there'll be no peace in a person's soul until they come to Jesus? It's a sure. As I am standing behind this desk, I can make that statement. There's no peace in a person's heart or soul until they come to the one who secured peace. And that's Jesus. Jesus the Saviour. So, the writer of the Proverbs, this proverb is saying, well, who has ascended up into heaven? Who came down? Who holds our waters? The wind in his fist? And who hold the waters in a mantle? Well, who is it? The Creator himself. And the Creator is Jesus. By whom, the writer of Hebrews says, God made the worlds. You're standing, when we come to the gospel, you're standing in before And we all are standing before a one who made the worlds, but he is not showing any ill feeling. He's showing compassion. The Jesus I know is full of compassion. You say, well, what about my sins? He's ready to forgive. How? Because he shed his precious blood on Calvary's tree. That's the only way. I nearly read a passage in Hebrews for this gospel preaching, but somehow my mind was altered. And the passage reads as like this. For as much as it is a portion of men once to die after this judgment, thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins, not sin, the sins of many, shall appear to those who look for him the second time without sin for salvation. Jesus came in to deal with the question not only of sins, but also of sin. Who, what is his name? What is his son named if thou knowest? What a question to start the gospel teaching. Do you know the name of Jesus? I think we can say so here, yes. But there may be someone listening outside. Do you know the name of Jesus? It's like that man, you know. He was preaching in the country. There didn't appear to be anybody there. He looked as if he was preaching to the donkey in the barn. A tramp came round, acknowledged he was a sinner, and came to Jesus. That is the way God works. He works personally. He doesn't work in a group. He wants to speak to me or you. He wants to come. He wants you to enthrone Jesus in your affections. And that's why we read in Philippians. Philippians 2. But let us go on for a moment. But I don't want to be too long. You've got here in Luke's Gospel the introduction of the Saviour. These are very precious words to me, because although it thou shalt call his name Jesus, that's what the instruction that Mary was given. She wasn't to give him any other name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. What does it mean? What does Jesus mean? What does he mean to you to start with? But what does the name mean? Because every name means something. It means Jah the Saviour. Is he yours? I can assure you he's mine. Is he yours? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. She had no option. She had that decree from heaven itself, by the word of the angel Gabriel. And then the angel Gabriel gives us an indication of what he would be, not only in his sojourn here, but in the time to come. Jesus is coming again, you know, to this world. He's coming again. When? I can't tell you, but I know he's coming. And I know another thing, that I might go to be with him before he comes. We all might hear. But he's coming again. And then he will reign over the earth. So this world will have to acknowledge who he is. He's crowned in heaven tonight. Is he crowned in our affections as he ought to be? For God so loved the world. He so loved the world. What world? You, me. He created the world in which we walk. It was created in perfection. There's nothing wrong with it. Sin came in, and we know what has occurred. So God, in his goodness, sent his Son come of woman, come under law, that he might redeem those from under law. And he came with, and he's being announced here as the person of Jesus. So I move on to Acts, because there is something very beautiful. I could go through the Gospel of Luke. I could go through Matthew. I could go through Mark and point out to you the beauties of the Saviour. But what we get in Acts is that there's no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's no other name given. You say, well, I'll tell another story. There's a brother, well known to most of us. He would pick up people in his car and take them to a destination where they may have wanted to go. And he pulled down the sun visor. And on that was printed, of whom do the prophets speak? And then he would say, well, who's that? He couldn't answer. Julius Caesar? Oh, no. Napoleon? No. Winston Churchill? No. Margaret Thatcher and Ali? No. David Cameron? No. But if I was to say to you, it speaks of that beautiful name, in the person of the name of Jesus, what would you say? And they have to admit that that word would speak of him. How many came to the Saviour through that brother's legs, I don't know. But it is that name that is the only name by which men must be saved. So let us look through the Gospels. We get here a man who has been healed, and it was healed as under that name, the name of Jesus. But you go back into the Gospels. I'll take you a little journey. Go through Luke's Gospel for a moment. A journey through Luke. And when the work, when the Saviour Jesus started his labours here, he touched the leper. He healed the leper. Now, to touch a leper was a very wrong thing to do, if I may put it that way, because the way that the leprosy could be infectious. But Jesus, in him, sin was not. He did no sin. So he healed the leper. It speaks of your sin and my sin, leprosy in the Bible. And he's able to heal the leper. You come to Luke 7. That woman taking out her only son, dead. Having already taken her husband out that way, and a large crowd with her. Compassion amongst the crowd. But what does it say? Well, Jesus was coming the other way, and he was filled with compassion. Today, the Saviour is of the same character. He's in heaven, I know, but his attitude to men, women, and children have not altered. Deep and dyed in sin as they are, he's filled with compassion, dear listener. Touched the beer. It stopped. Nobody else could do that. I have a note upon my Bible in reference to that. Exquisitely human, unmistakably divine, exquisitely human. beautifully human. There is a Saviour having compassion on that woman. She having lost everything. And he gave her back her son. Youth, I say unto thee, arise. And the young man rose up and he gave him back to his mother. Exquisitely divine. What a Saviour we present in the Gospel. There's no person like him, dear listener. Guilty as we have been or are in sin. For all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In one sense, that is the beginning of the glad tidings. That we all have to come to understand that we need our sins forgiven. Come to Luke 10. You've got that man taken in a half-dead state. Two persons passed him. They didn't attend to him. What does it say? That's a note. Now that was not according to Jewish recognition. Came in coming up to him. Didn't say came down, because this person is like somebody who's been wounded on a journey from the divine center down to the world. It could be any one of us, dear listener. That journey down from Jerusalem into the world could be any one of us. Taken up in a half-dead state. And what did that Samaritan do? He took him. And as one once said, he was cured. He was carried. He was cared for. And that is a result of the gospel preaching. You're cured from your sins. Wonderful thing. Because of the precious blood of Jesus. You're carried into the place where God would take you. Or the Lord Jesus would take you. And you're cared for. What more do you want? Sins forgiven, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And someone said, the rest is up to you. But what more do you want than your sins forgiven, your acknowledgement of your sins have been forgiven? You come in all your need to the person who only can forgive your sins. That's Jesus. Whom God has set forth as a mercy seat. Wonderful passage in the Bible. Probably one of the most beautiful passages in the book of Romans. Whom God has set forth as a mercy seat. Not you or me. God has done it through faith in his blood. Come into being forgiven. I love that passage in Romans. I'll just probably be told you quote it too frequently. But it's for the second fruit of his righteousness, not only in respect of passing by the sins that have taken place before, but for those at the present time. It's a wonderful passage, illuminating to us the glories of God's glorious glad tidings. For God came in his own way, in his own time, to establish a basis whereby he could forgive guilty sinners. It's against God, dear listener, that you've sinned. In one sense, it's not against your fellow men. It's against God whom you've sinned. And it is God who's willing to forgive. Why? Because of the work of Jesus. Salvation is found in none other. You might look for it, but you won't find it. You might look for being made righteous, but you won't find it. You go on into Luke's Gospel, you've got Luke 15, you've got Zacchaeus there, a man who climbed up a tree so he wanted to see Jesus. Get on your knees and you'll find him. Today, I'm coming into your house, Zacchaeus. And he came. Let us welcome the Saviour into our homes. He's all the way home, Saviour. He's not just for today. He's a friend that will stick closer than any brother. He'll stand by you, as they say, through thick and thin.
I know no one like him. We all may draw apart from time to time, but he's always there. The sunshine is behind the clouds. It's there. Although clouds may dim my sight, the sunshine's always there. And you know, he went up in a cloud, and he's going to come in a cloud. So clouds have a place in my heart, because my Savior went up in a cloud, and we're going to meet him in a cloud. Wonderful time. For there's no, for salvation is in none other, and neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. Wonderful words of Peter, indicted by the Spirit of God. And he goes, he says, prefaces it, whom ye have crucified. I know he is speaking to people of the Jewish nation, but you know the cross of Jesus. What part did you have to play there? What part? I know what part I played. One part, my sins. Another part. God put my sins upon him. He laid them upon him, as he laid yours. And we have to come to an acknowledgement of that. So we'll close with just a few words as to Philippians. Again, a very beautiful passage in the Bible. Not, I suppose, used much in the gospel preaching. But it gives us an appreciation of the downward steps of Jesus himself. He who was rich in glory, he put that on one side. At the ordering of God, obedient in every way, and took those steps down. And he came obedient, not to death, notice that, but obedient even unto death. Never came obedient to death. He annulled him and had the might of death. But now what has God done? He's granted him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus. It's that name. And that name, dear Christian listener, will hold you throughout the whole of your sojourn down here. And it will be there throughout the whole of eternity. He's the one we shall see. When he comes to take us, we shall see him face to face, as John says in his epistle. When we see him, we shall be like him. He has a wonderful few words there in the beginning of chapter 3. And we are children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been manifested. We know that if it is manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wonderful truth. So, not only will you bow the knee, if you're a believer, you've already done it. But there are those, everyone will. There's no option here. If you look at the Bible here, there's no option. You will bow the knee, whether you are heavenly, earthly, or infernal being. Every knee is going to bow to Jesus. Everyone. Do it now. It won't be too late. Because if you don't bow the knee to Jesus, acknowledge your guilt as a Savior, and die in your sins, the Scripture tells us as to what will take place. Let us be warned. But currently, his hands are stretched out. What does it say in Isaiah all the day long? He stretches out his hand to men, women, and children of the Jewish nation. I know that refers to. But he's doing it to you tonight. He's doing it to me tonight. All the day long. Think of the glory of Christ. Think of the glory of a God who will stretch out his hand. And he raised his hands in blessing as he went into glory. He wants to bless you tonight. May you do so for his name's sake.
Amen.
Amen.